Tonight, our learning is sponsored by Abigail Elkin in memory of her father, Aryeh Yosef, and Pesach Saron Baruch by Jeannie and Lee Kamenetsky for the Refuah Shleima, the Munasar Sprints of Asmeri Mayala, by Mindy and Henry Orlinsky in memory of Mindy's father, Chaim Abba ben Yosef, Saron Baruch, and by Fran Rockwerger in memory of her mother, Miral Bas Abraham Yehudis, Saron Baruch. So we were developing two approaches to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, and we really went through a number of nafkaminas already last time. I tried to make a chart to hopefully help clarify things. I don't know if it helped or made things more confusing, but I think at least there were moments when it was helpful. But I really wanted to go through just the last nafkamina, which we really rushed at the very end. And the reason why I want to go through it is because it really is a very, very fundamental gemara on this sugya of Eide Mesira, Eide Chasima. So we'll see it. We'll see the gemara at least inside for a little bit. We'll explore it briefly. And then, like I said, we will open up a new topic. So what we were effectively asking, the question that we've been considering is, we have this machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir as to which Edom are the critical Edom on a get. Rabbi Elazar says it's the Edom who are signed. Rabbi Meir says it's the Edom Mesira, the Edom who witnessed the transfer of the get. The question that we've been raising is that simply a narrow machlokes? Perhaps, how to interpret the pasuk? V'chasav lav sefer krisos. What does v'chasav refer to? That's the way the Gemara puts it. Is it about the writing or is it about the signatures? So it's really, look, they don't really fundamentally disagree. It's just a question of which Edom are better. It's a question of preference almost. But we're not dealing with a fundamental dispute regarding the whole essence and nature of get, gerushin, etc. Or alternately, is this a major machlokes about what a get truly is? And I was arguing that according to Rabbi Elazar, or according to Rabbi, let's start with Rabbi Meir. Perhaps according to Rabbi Meir, central to a get is raya, is proof. If you just have a piece of paper that says Hareza Giteich, but it doesn't have anything more than that, doesn't have any more substance than that, that is not going to help, because central to the essence of a get is proof within the text of the get, within the substance and content of the get. All right, if you just let Carl looks like he's closed out. Join us, Carl. Join us. So that was the question. That was the shita of Rabbi Meir. What does Rabbi Elazar hold? Rabbi Elazar holds that a get is just the chetza of transfer. The mashal that I was giving was on the opposite end of the spectrum for kiddushin, right? A chasan needs to hand a kala a pruta or a shava pruta, right? A ring. And it is that item that creates the kiddushin between them. Now, does the ring have any proof in it that it was used for a kiddushin? No, it's just a plain band of metal. There's nothing in the ring that testifies as to what exactly it is. It's just the item, the chetza shel mitzvah, if you will, that's needed in order to create this change in personal status. Perhaps a get functions in a similar way. It's not that it needs to any kind of documentary evidence or anything like that. It's just the item needed for transfer in order to change personal status. So that was two ways of viewing the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. And again, we saw three different halakhic questions that might hinge on how exactly we understand the machlokes. The last one is Shtei Shtaros Yotzim Biyom Echad. So let's take a look at source number 12. Again, like I said, this is one of the real fundamental gemaras on Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar. Lots of the Rishonim, particularly on the Dapi Arif, a lot of the Rishonim really make their assessments of the sugya on this Gemara in their commentaries on this Gemara Ksubas. So the Gemara deals with the following case. Source number 12, Itmar. Beis Sharos Yotzim Biyamecha. So again, we have Reuven and he's selling a field. But Reuven gets a little overly ambitious with his business plans. He comes up with a brilliant idea. So I'm going to sell the same piece of real estate to two people. And the Sharos are dated for the same day. They're both dated for Rosh Chodesh, Beis de Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Beis de Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Happens to be actually my wedding anniversary is Beis de Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. So Aleph Tammuz is when he dates the two Shtaros. Fine. So now you have two people. He sells it to Shimon and Levi. So now Shimon and Levi both have a Shtar dated the same date, Aleph Tammuz, that says that they own this piece of real estate. So what do you do? So Rav Amar Cholkin. Rav says, split it 50-50. That's what are you going to do? You two people own the same piece of land. You'll split it 50-50. Shmuel Amar Shuda Dedaini. Shmuel says, you use something called Shuda Dedaini. I referenced last time that Shuda Dedaini is a machlokes in Rashi Tosfos. This is what exactly it is. If we ever learn Baba Basra together, Be'ez Hashem, we will. We'll talk about what Shuda Dedaini is. In short, it means that the Dayanim are going to decide who the owner is. Machlokes in Rashi and Tosfos is whether they decide on the basis of the evidence in their eyes, who seems to have the more compelling case as to who's the rightful owner. That's one view. Or alternately, do they not deal with evidence at all? They decide who's going to do the right thing with this karka, who's going to be the bigger tzaddik, who's going to give more tzedakah, who's going to do more chesed, and they give it to the person who they think is more appropriate to own. So Shuda Dedaini, a kind of extrajudicial assessment that's still evidentiary, it's still evidence-based, or is it more just the dayanim have license to decide who they think is more deserving, is the not the rightful owner, but perhaps the owner who will do what is right. And they can give it accordingly. But that is the machlokas. Rav says they split it. Shmuel says you make an assessment. Shmuel says we do a shuda designing. And the Gemara goes along and says it actually is a function of our machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. Lema, Rav de Amar Karevi Meir, de Amar Ede Chasim Makarsi, Shmuel de Amar Karevi Elazar, de Amar Ede Masir Karsi. Rav holds like Rabbi Meir, who says Ede Chasima. Shmuel says like Rabbi Elazar, who holds Ede Masir. That's what the Gemara says. Now, at face value, this Machlokas in Rav and Shmuel has nothing to do with which Edom are more important on a shtar. So Tosfos jump in source number 13 and offer two ways to understand this Gemara's proposed relationship between the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel about Sheish Aros Yotzim Yamechad on the one hand, and the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar about Edom Sira Ede Chasima on the other. Tosfos in source number 13 say the following. Lema Rav, we'll just read the bold, because again, this is, I want to introduce our new topic. Lema Rav, the Amar Rabbi Meir, the Amar Ede Chasima Karsi, and Tosfos say as follows in bold. The kivan de ikar hu hashtar, because according to Rabbi Meir, again, Rabbi Meir is focused on the signatures. The main piece here is the shtar. Okay. Now, if I can just editorialize for a moment, we can editorialize in Tosfos. He's saying the ikar is the shtar, as opposed to what? As opposed to no. This is Rabbi Meir who holds it is about the signatures. The ikar is the shtar, as opposed to. The Mesira Sashtar, right? As opposed to the Mesira, as opposed to the handover. Is that what you said, Joel? Mesira, yeah. As opposed to the Mesira, the Iker is the Shtar itself. Umitoch Edom HaChasumim B'Shtar, and through the witnesses on the Shtar, the Lashon of Tosfos is critical here. Ein Nikar Shekidam Kinyano Shozeh L'Kinyano Shozeh Hilkach Konim Shneim B'Vazachas. What Tosfos are saying is the following. Let's assume for a moment, that both of these guys have their shtaros, right? And they both say the same day, okay? Let's assume for argument's sake that they were not signed at the same time. That Shimon has his shtar signed at 8 a.m. And Levi has his shtar signed at, that's not a bad example, 8 p.m. Well, I guess today 8 p.m. is still before Shkia, so it's perfectly fine, right? So one of them has it at 7 a.m., one of them has it at 7 p.m. Let me ask you a question. Who has acquired the field first? Now, intuitively, you'd say, Reuven, his shtar was signed 12 hours beforehand. But is that obvious? Is that evident? Tosfos here are arguing that even though Reuven's shtar is signed 12 hours beforehand, he did not acquire the field before Shimon did, but rather, they acquired the field at the same time. Why? Because the shtar has the same date. And if the shtar has the same date, let's say for argument's sake, when does the Kenyan go into effect? At the end of Aleph Tammuz, at the end of Beis Dorosh Chodesh Tammuz, that is when the shtar takes effect, and that is when the shtar is good. Because why? Let's fill in the blanks here, which those are not saying, is because the raya of the shtar, the proof of the shtar, the text and substance of the shtar, only testifies to the Kenyan going into effect on Aleph Tammuz. The hours aren't specified, the day is specified. So Tosfos here are saying, why do you hold Yachloku if you hold like Rabbi Meir? Because if you hold like Rabbi Meir, it does not matter who got their shtar first. If the shtar says Aleph Tammuz, then both of their shtaros only go into effect at the end of Aleph Tammuz, which means that they go into effect at the same time, and therefore Yachloku, and therefore they divide it up, because each one has an equal kinyan, has an equal stake in this karka. That's the first opinion of Tosfos.
Let's say the hours.
So maybe that would be different. I think Tosfos go into that. Here, let's just, they don't talk about that particular point, but they might go into it later. But look at the next line, Mati. It's just, again, it's not quite what you're asking, but afilu nechta v'nechta v'nimsa le'echa tefila, to spell out what we said a moment ago, even if it was signed and it was written, signed and given to one first, v'achakach nechta v'nimsa l'sheni, and later, 12 hours later, it was given to Shimon, even though the Edom Mesira can testify that one was first, we're not really concerned about the Edom Mesira. I don't recall if in the ellipsis Tosfos addressed the question of writing a Zman and a Get, but we don't ordinarily do that. We write the date, we don't write the Zman, so therefore they both go into effect at the same time. Now Tosfos, quote Rabbeinu Tam, who has a whole different approach to this Gemara. We're not going to read the whole thing inside, but if you look at the bold of the second passage, the bold of the second paragraph of source 13, it's Hadi Hadadi, Mustama Kivan Chehtima Ikar Chehtima Ikar Amsira Heisel Das Kasima, Abish Heisel Akhazuva Kinimsa Vasakas. What Tosu say here is that when it comes to Misira, right? Again, Reuven is the seller. So he has to give the star over in each case. So Tosu say it's exceedingly unlikely that he holds each star in one hand and gives them to both of them at the same time. Why is that exceedingly unlikely? Because again, if Shimon and Levi have half a brain, they're not really going to agree, right? Unless he's really duping them, it's unlikely that he's giving the Mesiros at the same time. If Edei Chasima are the Iker, then it's possible that he has one set of Edim signing in one place, he has another set of Edim signing in another place, and they are actually signing at the same exact moment. Implication of Rabbeinu Tam being, if they did not sign at the same exact moment, if we go back to our case where Shimon has his star at 7 a.m. and Levi only gets his star at 7 p.m., implication of Rabbeinu Tam is who would be the owner in that case? It would be Shimon, whoever had the star first. So we have these two deos and tosvos as to what happens in our scenario where it is signed, where one person has their star signed and sealed 12 hours before somebody else. One opinion in tosvos, again, and bear in mind, this is all within Rabbi Meir, like I've said throughout. Part of the layers of confusion here is that we're dealing with machlokos about a machlokos, right? It's a machlokos and tosvos about a machlokos tanoim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. So here, within the opinion of Rabbi Meir, do we say that doesn't matter when they're given? If they're signed for first Tammuz, they both go into effect at the same moment at that Shkia of Al Tammuz? Or do we say it is contingent on whoever has their star given over first? Now, how can we explain that machlokos? So if you turn back to our chart here, let's start with table number 2. So if we're dealing with a fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar holds again that shtar is really just the chefza of transfer, just like the ring at a kiddushin is just the chefza of transfer. Then according to Rabbi Elazar, everything will be based on what's the critical moment in terms of the transfer of ownership, the moment when it is handed over. Just like at a kiddushin, the moment when the ring is handed over is the critical moment. The critical moment will be the moment of the mesiras hashtar. And whoever has their Mesira first will get it. And that's why, again, we don't know who's the proper owner, but you should design it. If the Kenyan is Raya, again, if it's the Raya, if it's the proof of the Shtar, the statement that the Shtar makes, that is what serves to effect or create the effect of a transfer of ownership, then we'll say that the Shtar only goes into effect, the Shtar only works when it provides a Raya. And when does it provide a Raya? Again, it doesn't say when on Aleph Tammuz the transaction went into effect. It just says Aleph Tammuz. And therefore, the star will actually only go into effect at the very end of the day. Rav says Yachloku, because they both acquire it at precisely the same moment. By contrast, if you move to the top of the chart, table number 1, if really Rabbi Meir is really functioning along the same lines as Rabbi Elazar, it doesn't have a fundamental disagreement about the whole nature of star and whether it's Raya and whether it's Cheftza, none of that exists. Then, okay, then you're not going to say that, if Reuven has it 12 hours earlier, it's still only going to affect at the end of the day. You'll say, like Rabbi Elazar, whoever gets it first is the rightful owner. So why did we say Yachloku? You have the chashash of Tosvos that, maybe they signed it at the same time, and therefore maybe you have to be concerned that they'd be rightful owners. But this whole question of how to understand Rabbi Meir, whether he's fundamentally disagreeing as to the entire mechanics of get, or really just engaging in a narrow machlokas Rabbi Elazar as to which Edom are superior, can determine when exactly the Kenyan would go into effect in this case of Sheish Charos Yotzim Yom Echad. Would we say that the person who gets it first on Aleph Tammuz is the one who's the rightful owner? Or would we say that it doesn't matter who gets it first, they both go into effect at the end of the day? Okay, that is the final nafkamina. That's what we're trying to sum up in 45 seconds at the end of last year. And that concludes our treatment of this topic of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir. Any questions before we move forward? I feel like lots of questions and no questions at the same time. Yeah, David, go ahead.
There's a significant difference, though, between star and get. So, in terms of effectivity.
Possibly and possibly not. So if you recall, part of our...
In other words,
go ahead.
If you want to go by the time of Masira, if you want to go by the end of the day... I give the get in the morning, and then she goes and has relations with somebody in the afternoon. The kid, you can see the kids in mom's day room.
Presumably not. You're probably right. Presumably not. But maybe in Achayami, I don't know. Maybe I'd say you're right. Maybe according to this first view in Tosfos, maybe the get would only be chal at the end of the day, and it would be a problem. Again, it's a chiddush, but it's
amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's
so. Again, like it's I mean, it'd be a pretty strange scenario. I don't know if any Dayan has ever had such a case. And bear in mind, of course, that, you know, correct. Again, so I was going to say, that's a Dindra Rabbanon, Jerry, correct. There's a Dindra Rabbanon that she needs to wait 3 months anyway. But again, but that wouldn't impact the question of Mamzeiros. Let's, Ed, you okay? But in terms of the general relationship between get and shar shtaros, that was already a dynamic within our Gemara itself, if you recall, right? The question was, when we say we pass like Rabbi Elazar, did we mean that only by get, or did we mean that by shar shtaros as well? And bear in mind as well that this shtar that we're talking about does have similarity to get insofar as we're talking about a shtar kinyan. Again, it's not a shtar raya, it's a shtar kinyan, which is presumably what the entire debate about Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir is centering around. That's why you'd have a parallel case. Your reductio is an interesting one. I don't know.
We have similar situations with any shtar kinyan. If you sell an ox and then it goes and gores, it's the person that bought it responsible. Do we have to, does the Gemara discuss this, a similar case? Like, if you're not in front of the animal, then it dies, right? You're not with the animal, you sell it, and then it dies. You get it home to the farm, you find that it's dead. Should even be a shilat. The shtar should have worked overnight.
So, right. Well, again, ordinarily, again, so bear in mind, Ari, there are differences here. First of all, usually by metaltalin, you're not using a shtar, usually, right? You're using hagbah, mishicha, or mesira. I don't recall. You have to go back to the Mishnah in the first paragraph of Kiddushin. Does the shtar work for?
Same question.
I'm sorry?
Sell someone a bar. That's about a Kenyan.
Right, again. So there, certainly, if you're just changing it to a shtar Kenyan, then certainly Tosos would say you're not chayiv until the end of the day, because they'd say, Lefi Rebbe, again, that first opinion in Tosos, according to the opinion of Rebbe Meir, would maintain that you don't acquire ownership until the night. You wouldn't be responsible for it. Absolutely. Again, that is just more directly parallel to the case that we're dealing with. David's presenting a more extreme case by converting it into a rather strange get case, right? Where she's obviously very eager to carry on with her life, and in that case, it's a little bit strange. I don't know. I hear the shayla. I hear the shayla, and either maybe you'd say enoch and maybe that opinion tells us. I'm sorry. What wouldn't apply to kiddushin?
Star.
No, I think Shtar Kiddushin is Shtar Kiddushin. We're not going to get into it right now, but Shtar Kiddushin is a totally different beast. Does Shtar Kiddushin require Edom at all? Pashto's not, right? So Shtar Kiddushin, yeah. So Shtar Kiddushin, again, we'll learn the second Kiddushin at some point. When we do the first back of Kiddushin, we'll talk about Kiddush Shtar. But I think that's, I don't know if that would be comparable, because I think it's a difference.
Then if you integrity, then you can marry two
people on the same day. No problem. So those cases are described by the Gemara Kiddushin. The Gemara Kiddushin, it's not quite that case. The Gemara Kiddushin on Daf Samach describes a case where Gemara describes what's called Shrag de Libni, where Anisha is Miskadeshes to two men. It's not quite the case that you're describing, Jerry, but it's a little bit similar. Let's say one of them says, a man says, Arayat Mikudeshes li la'achar shloshim yom. Then somebody else says, Arayat Mikudeshes li la'achar tishav esr miyom. And then et cetera, et cetera. Shmon of esr miyom. You could have a woman who's married to 30 men, the Gemara says, because Shraga the Livni is the lashon of the Gemara. Shraga the Livni means like a row of bricks. We shouldn't discuss what exactly the metaphor is. Strange cases. But but going back to what Ari was saying, I don't know if the Shtar Kiddushin is comparable to this whole discussion. I don't think this whole discussion of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir, I don't think would apply to Shtar Kiddushin. Shtar Kiddushin, certainly the critical moment is in Basira. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. Okay? Good. Fine. That was, again, two ways of explaining the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, table one and table two. Now we are going to approach this machlokas through an entirely new lens. We are going to offer an entirely different explanation, possible explanation for this machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, and it is going to get us into an entirely different sugya. So, like I said, we're going to take a break from Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir just to understand the conceptual background of the sugya, and then, once we've mastered it, we'll relate it back to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir and have, again, a whole new prism for viewing this machlokas, despite everything we've said in the last several shiurim, okay? And this is the question of Eidos Lakium Hadavar. What is Eidos Lakium Hadavar? We've spoken about it in the past, but just to once again give a piece of background, then we'll see the source for it, and we will assess its nature. Broadly speaking, in halacha, one can describe two different forms of testimony, two different types of Eidim. The average Eidim, and the way we traditionally think about Eidim, is what we call Eide Birur, or what the Gemara calls Lo Ibru Sahade Elo Lashakri. Okay, that's the last language that we're going to see over and over again. Eide Birur are witnesses who testify that something happened. I'm going to lend you money, and I trust you, you're a great guy. but I'm also going to be responsible. So I'm also going to bring in two witnesses to actually assert, to watch what's happening, so that I can bring them into Beis Din later and say, oh, yeah, on the first of Tammuz, Schreier lent somebody else $100, and then they can acquit. That's the standard witnesses that apply in most cases in halacha, and that's the way we tend to think about witnesses in most cases. Then there's something called Eidus Lekiyum Adam. You go to a chasna, and they say, Mechubad with Seder Kiddushin, Rabbi, you know, Harav Agon, etc., etc. And they say, Mechubad with Eidei Kiddushin, and they call up two other people, they call up two other rabbis to serve as the Eidei Kiddushin. And what are those Eidei Kiddushin? Are they just there to come along and assert that a Kiddushin happened? They certainly can do that. But as we will see in a moment, they serve a much more fundamental role. And that is because if you do a Kiddushin without those Eidim, it is not a Kiddushin. Nishkem Kiddushin, it doesn't go into effect. If I lend $100, you are obligated to pay me. The loan happened. It might be hard for me to prove that you owe me the money, but certainly Klapei Shvaya, as far as the Ribbono Shel Olam is concerned, you owe me the money, whether I can prove it or not. If a young man and a young woman, or old man and old woman, go into the forest, and nobody's there, and it's totally secluded, and he says, Hareya Mikudashasli, puts the ring on her finger, Mazel Tov, they go tell everybody they're married. The Bezim comes along and says, sorry, Charlie, or sorry, Sarah, whatever, whoever it is, you're actually not married because you didn't have anyone there to witness it, and you need Eidim, need two kosher witnesses to observe the Kiddushin in order for the Kiddushin to go into effect. That is what we call Eidus Lekiyum Hadavar. Okay? Eidus is that Eidus is, again, qualitatively different because it's not just there for proof afterwards. It's necessary. It's a necessary ingredient for the halachic result to take effect. Okay? What is the source of this? The source is a Gemara in Kiddushin from the Samachayim and Beis. The Gemara Kiddushin of Samachayim and Beis is from the third parak of Sechas Kiddushin. Third parak of Kiddushin is really like a tragically overlooked parak. Usually when yeshivas learn Kiddushin, they usually learn the first parak, and they usually learn the beginning of the second parak, and maybe Kayetzman, they learn Daf Kaf Tes, which is all the Kibbutz Av Aim. The third parak of Kiddushin is a very, very fundamental parak. My impression is that more recently, yeshivas have been learning the third parak of Kiddushin. You see it being learned more now. The Gemara that I just referenced, Jerry Vastraga Delivni, the Gemara of Samach, is part of the third parak. Very fundamental parak. And it serves as the source for Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar. Source number one. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marsi Mishmei de Rav. So you have this report in the name of Rav. HaMekadesh Be'ed Echad. They say Mechubad with eight Kiddushin. And they only call up one. You should probably get a better Masada Kiddushin if that happens. Okay, this is what happened. Call up Choshen Lekiddushin is not a good Kiddushin. Ein Choshen Lekiddushav. Ba'afilu Shnei Modim. Even afterwards, the Chazan and Kala say, wish us a mazel tov. Here we are. Here's the ring. We got married. Sorry, again, you need two witnesses in order for the Kiddushin to work. And then Gemara goes on to record some further discussion about the ramifications of this and the source, etc. And the Gemara says, my have a Allah, but we're actually going to see the source in a moment. My have a Allah, what was the conclusion? Rav Kahana Amar in Choshesh in the Kiddusha. Rav Kahana says, like we saw in the name of Rav, that is not a good Kiddushin. Rav Papa Amar Choshesh in the Kiddusha. But Rav Papa maintains that you don't need witnesses on Kiddushin. We do not pass like Rav Papa here. Rav Papa holds that the witnesses on a Kiddushin are like witnesses on anything else. They're useful. You can prove something afterwards, but they're not a necessary ingredient in completing the Kiddushin.
Does it make a difference if it's Arison or Nisun?
This is all Arison. Kiddushin is all Arison.
Nisun, if there's one Eid.
Okay, there's a major discussion in the Achronim as to whether Nisun requires Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar or not. Okay, major discussion in the Rishonim, Rav Chaim, the Or Sameach. There's a major discussion of that issue. Very briefly, I'll tell you that we are somewhat inconsistent in that regard. Okay, we have Eidim on the Yichud room, right? There are always two guys standing outside. So Yichud is one of the views of Nisuin. Yet most people are not makbid to have Eidim on the Badekin, which is another view of Nisuin. So why not? So as it happens, Ryan Lachenstein and Mori Barabi of Rosenzweig are makbid to have Eidim on the Badekin. So at my wedding, there were Eidim on the Badekin. It also gives you an extra kibbutz to give out. So it's useful socially also. But that is a major discussion. And if you don't have it, I forgot to have the Eidim Badekin, nobody's going to lose sleep over it. Because Allah Almighty, we don't absolutely require it. But there is that dion in the Achronim as to whether Eidus is necessary on Nisuin, which in turn could be a very interesting question, either about Eidus, some of the questions that we're going to touch on, or of course, the question about the spirit of our halacha X situation Y, or about what? Or Nisuin, right? Exactly. Do you need Eidus, Eidekiyum on Nisuin? Could either be Machlokas ben Eidekiyum or Machlokas ben Nisuin. So again, that's more of a Kiddushin topic. It comes up a little in Tzubas and Yivamos. but we won't address that now. No, not because again, Eda Yerushin. The chuppah is considered nisuin, but the edim are not there to witness the chuppah. The edim are there to witness the ring transfer, the kiddushin, or the erusin. Kiddushin and erusin are the same thing. So, presumably they're the same thing. We'll treat them as the same thing. Okay, so the witnesses are there for that first stage, for the kiddushin / erusin. Okay.
So theoretically, they walked away after you see the ring and they're not there for
that. It's perfectly fine. And many do that. Nowadays, there's a minhag to have the Eidei Kiddushin stand up there to watch the Mesiras HaKesubah, to watch the Ksuba handed over. Not entirely clear why it's necessary. So again, we're getting a little far flung, but this is an interesting piece because the next time you're at a wedding, and I don't know about you guys, I'm going to multiple weddings a week over the summer. So the next time you're at a wedding, watch what the Mesiras HaKesubah does. Does the Mesiras HaKesubah ask the Eidei Kiddushin to stand up there to watch the Mesiras HaKesubah, right? So what happens is, at a standard wedding, the Kiddushin is done, then the Ksuba is read. Why do we read the Ksuba? Just to create a hefsek, right? Just to create a hefsek between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin, which is why if a rabbi is going to speak, I don't usually speak at weddings unless it's requested, but the best time to do it is really at that time, to create a break between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin. So you have that break, and then the Chazan takes the Ksuba and gives it to the Kala. Right? It becomes her shtar, Mesiras HaShtar, right? Our sugi. So, do we need Eidei Mesira? Should we have Eidei Mesira? Interesting, right? Our topic. So lots of times when Mesiras HaKedushin will get up there and ask the Eidei Kedushin, can you please stand up here to watch the Mesiras HaKesubah? Question is, why? You already have Eidei Chasima. And we know that the Eidei Chasima do work, at least according to the way we paskin, the Eidei Chasima do work. So what is the maila of the Eidei Mesira? So for a while, I thought the value of having Eidei Mesira was just in case one of the people who signed on your ksuba comes out, headline the next day, he's running a Ponzi scheme and he's a pasul le'edus, so you have a backup set of Eidei. That doesn't really help because we didn't really go into this so much. But even Rabbi Meir, who holds Eidei Chasim Makarsi, holds if it's mezuyah mitocho, it's pasul. So you don't, according to Rabbi Elazar, you don't need Eidim at all. But if you have Eidim, they had better be Eidim k'sher. And if you have a puzzle aid, that's actually worse than having no aid at all. So that doesn't really help. So some of them say that the ksuba is a backup shtar kiddushin. It's a very strange svara. I recently once saw of Daniel Stein. Daniel Stein is a really fantastic talmudim. We always have him a few times a year in Bnei Asherin. So he asked the Eidei Kiddushin to stay and watch the Mesiras HaKesubah. So I ran over to him before he left the wedding and I said, why did you require it? He said, because there's some yeshivish schnook here who's going to say, oh, you need a Mesira. I wanted to make sure that I had them. He's like, there's no halachic reason why. I just didn't want anybody protesting at my Seder Kiddushin. But he's like, yeah, there's no real actual reason for it. And I'll tell you another story. There was one time I asked the Mayor Twersky to serve as an aide Mesira, and I got a look of death. He like really gave me a death stare. Like, you know, why are you bothering me with this Narishkei? So again, like I'll still do it sometimes for the same reason that Rabbi Stein does it. But ordinarily speaking, you don't really need that. Now, all that is, again, a very, very far flung. The primary purpose of the Eidim under the Chuppah is to see the Kiddushin, the ring. Again, they have to make sure they see that. Again, as somebody who's semi-regularly in a Kiddushin, sometimes the photographer thinks they're more important than you are. They, like, box you out. So you got to have sharp elbows under the Chuppah. You know, you always want to respect the photographer, but you also got to make sure that they're married. So the Eidei Kiddushin have to witness the transfer of the ring. That's the critical moment, okay? And getting back to our Gemara in the Chasam Achei and Kiddushin is the source for the fact that they are necessary. Rav Kahana says they are needed. Omer le Rav Ashi le Rav Kahana. This is the end of the second line. Rav Ashi says to Rav Kahana, "My daitech." What is the svara for this? Okay, well, where do you get this from? Third line, second word, and this is going to be important for us later on. The yalf is davar davar mi mamon. You learn out davar davar mi mamon. The word davar appears in the context of mamon. Apishnaim edim yakub davar. It appears in the context of Dvar Erva. So we take the Dvar Dvar and we make a hekesh between them to require two Eidim. So Rav Ashi says, if the whole source of having two Eidim is from Mammon, Ima lehalon hoda'as baldin kameya Eidim dami, Afkan hoda'as baldin kameya Eidim dami. Every line in this Gemara is loaded. In the context of Mammonos, we have a principle. If you claim money from me, right? And I say, you know what? You're right. I owe you the money. It's basically say, not so fast. You don't have two witnesses. No, hoda'as baldin kameya Eidim dami. You know, if It's what we call in the schoolyard teammate call, right? And if you admit that you owe the money, then that's like 100 eidim, the halacha says. Now, what is the basis of that svara? So again, it's a very important question as well. Part of it is discussed in the Ketzos, in source number 3. Not that one line that we have, but the longer analysis of the Ketzos. A classic machlokas between the Ketzos and the Maharib and Leith about that question. But the question of Rav Ashi is, if Odas Baldin works by Mammon, and the whole source is Mammon, so right? So let's say, in general, if somebody says, okay, claims that I owe them money, and I say, I do owe you money, we're all on the same page, you don't need witnesses that work. So here too, if the Chassan says they're married, the Kala says they're married, everybody's on the same page, what in the world do you need witnesses for? So again, the answer is very important as well. We're not going to flesh out the answer in total, but I think it's just important to see it. Fast line, Amar lei hasam lo kachayev la'achrini, hacha kachayev la'achrini. In the context of a monetary deal, if I admit that I owe you money, who am I hurting? I'm just hurting myself, not anybody else. In the context of Kiddushin, she's Asura L'Kuli Alma. This has ramifications for everyone. There's ramifications for everyone in the world. And therefore, you don't have that same power to kind of just make statements when it's impacting everyone as opposed to just impacting yourself. Okay? Again, that line of Chavla Achrini, another very critical line. Really a lot to unpack from this Gemara. But for our purposes, you need Eidos L'Kiyam HaDavar. You need two witnesses on a Kiddushin. Without them, it's no good. And the source is Davar Davar Mimamon. Maybe that's something that we'll circle back to at some point in the future. Now, sources 2 and 3, we are going to skip for now. Like I said before, these are two like really classic pieces in the Achronim. Classic Rav Chaim and a classic Ketzos, talking about the nature of Eidos L'Kiyam HaDavar, and it's something that we will circle back to perhaps tonight and certainly next week. But there is a major machlokes between these two Gedolei Achronim as to what the purpose of Eidos L'Kiyam HaDavar is. And again, we'll see their analysis in a moment. But before we do, let's turn to a machlokes rishonim that appears on another Gemara Kiddush. Okay, we're going to go slightly out of order, but just bear with me, and we will we'll see all the sources together. Okay, source number 4, the Gemara Kiddushin Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Itmar, it was stated, Rab Amar Shliach Nase Eid, Devei Rabbi Shila Amri Ein Shliach Nase Eid. Again, every Gemara here is really just there's so much to mine. We're just going to try to stay streamlined as much as we can. Rav says that in the context of Kiddushin, a shliach can be an eid. So Reuven is on a business trip, but he really wants to get married. He really wants to marry Sarah. So he appoints his friend, Yankel, and he says, you know what, Yankel, you go and be Makadesh Sarah on my behalf. You can make a shliach for Kiddushin. It's not the most romantic thing, but it does work. It is halachically effective. But they realize that there's only one other witness available. There's only one other witness there. So can Yankel, who is the shliach to do the Kiddushin, can he serve as an aide on the Kiddushin simultaneously? Can he actually fulfill two roles, the shliach and the aide? Very fundamental Gemara. I think I mentioned last time that I always try to go back to Rav Rosenzweig Shir in June as much as I can. I was there today. So we've been talking about this Gemara a little bit in the context of Ein Shliach Nasa Aide. And if we move to Tapeh, we'll talk about it as well. By the way, if anybody's interested in coming, you're welcome to come with me. Next year is on Thursday. We'll be at 11 o'clock. Just let me know. And we will, it's always good for me. It's always nice for me to be back in Shir. But this is the Gemara about Shliach Nasa Eid. So Rav says that Yankel can serve as an aid. The Vei Reb Shila and the Yeshiva Reb Shila, they said that he cannot serve as an aid. My time at the Vei Reb Shila, what is the reasoning for the Vei Reb Shila? Ile mamishum delo amar le, second line, heavily aid. If you want to say it's because the original husband never told Yankel to serve as an aide, and the Hava Amina at this stage of the Gemara is, if you don't specify that you need to serve as an aide, then he is not able to serve as an aide. The Gemara is going to reject that. Elameata, if that's the whole justification. Kidesh Isha Bifnei Shnayim, the lo amar lahem atem aidai hachanamik lohev kiddushi. Is it really true that in any instance where he doesn't specify, you are my aidim, that it is not going to be a good Kiddushin? It's not true. You don't have to say that. Now, again, I don't remember when was the last time you were at a Seder Kiddushin, but does the Seder Kiddushin usually tell the Chassan to designate the two Eidim as his Eidim? Usually, yes. Okay? And we will see the reason for that, again, either tonight or next week. But according to the Gemara, and according to the way we Paskin, if he didn't do that, it's not strictly speaking necessary. As long as the witnesses are there, it's perfect. So El Rab Amar Shliach Nasa Eid Alume Kama Alimna Lamilse Ve Rabbi Shila Amri Ein Shliach Nasa Eid Kima De Amar Mar Shluchu Shalom Kamoso Havei Lekikufe. The question is whether the shliach is a greater aid, so intimately involved, or is he the original Baal? And just like the husband can't serve as a witness on his own marriage, the shliach can't either. So yeah, a very rich Gemara, a lot to talk about, a lot of ramifications for shlichos. But that's the Gemara itself. Okay, fine.
I assume that when the Baal is sending the shliach, he's not sending the shliach in front of two aidim, so he's assuming that the shliach, when he gets there, is going to find two aidim.
Or maybe he's assuming that he's going to find one aidim, he's going to serve as the second aidim.
But ideally, he would find two aidim. There's only one because he can't find the other aidim.
Yeah, let's say. Right? Yeah, again, for argument's sake, right? Okay. Now, I'm debating now how much to try to see inside versus to try to frame the issue outside. We're not going to be able to see the entire Ritzvah tonight. That's clear to me. Okay, you know what? Let me try to frame the issue. We'll start to think about it, and next week we'll try to see the Rishonim. We'll see how much time we have. We're going to see in a moment the Machlokes in the Rashba and the Ritzvah. The Rashba and the Ritzvah were two of the Gedolim of Chachmei Sfarad. The Rashba was a Talmud of the Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah, really more a Talmud of Rabbeinu Yonah than the Ramban. The Ritva was a Talmud of the Rashba and the Ra'ah. Interestingly, I got it right. The Ra'ah was a great. nothing worse than what my kids do. The Ra'ah was a great Talmud of the Ramban. And the Ra'ah and the Rashba actually frequently dispute with each other, very, very, in very strong terms. The Ra'ah and the Rashba are frequent disputants, particularly in Yoredeya. The Ra'ah and the Rashba argue. The Ritva is, of course, one of the great Talmudim of the Ra'ah, and he's also Talmud of the Rashba. So here's the Machlokes. You ready? Reuven, again, is getting married. Let's say Yaakov's getting married to Rachel. Yaakov's getting married to Rachel. And in this case, the Masadr Kiddushin, whoever it is, doesn't call up the Eidei Kiddushin, but instead the Eidei Kiddushin are hiding at a distance. They're standing me'achore ha'gedem. There's a wall there. They're standing behind the wall. They're peering through the lattices, me'tzis b'nacharakim, and they're watching the Kiddushin, but Rachel doesn't even know that they're there. Is the Kiddushin chal, or is it not? What would you say? Do they qualify as Eidos L'Kiyam Adavar, or do they not qualify as Eidei Kiyam? They're there. They're witnessing it, but Rachel doesn't know that they're there. And they're not, that's essentially what we're asking, right? In other words, and they're not present under the chuppah, they're standing at a distance. Do they qualify as Eidei Kiyam or do they not? Now we're going to see this is a machlokas between the Rashba and the Ritva. David, you had something? Sorry?
I was going to say, I think yes, because what's the difference if she knows or not?
Okay, so David says, Eidim are Eidim. They witness it, they saw it, right? They're doing their role. So why does it matter if she's there? A compelling svara, okay? And that seems to be what the Rashba says. The Rashba says, it wouldn't be good. The only reason why the Rashba can come up with for why it wouldn't be good, David, is because maybe she would say, I thought this was a whole joke. I thought this was a charade. She's a Talmud Chacham. She's learned Masechta Kiddushin. She knows that in order to have a Kiddushin, you need Eidim there. So because the Eidim weren't there, she thought the whole thing was a joke, right? But if she was serious about it, if she really meant to get married, the Rashba seems to maintain that it would be a good marriage. The Ritva holds that if they are just hiding behind a fence, it is not going to be a good Kiddushin. My question for all of you is, why? Why not? Or alternately, what is the machlok between the Rashba and the Ritva? If David thinks, again, well, let me just break this down methodologically, and again, we'll see all this inside next week, Bezos Hashem. But I always say, when there's machlokas, we have to stop and think about it. Number one, what are they arguing about? And number two, I often say, start with the more intuitive side. So David is saying that to him, the more intuitive side is, why does it matter? They see it, right? And I would agree. I think that would probably be the more intuitive side as well. But then the next step is, what would the Ritva say? The Ritva was thinking about this too. He was just as smart as we are, I assure you. So, a lot smarter. Yeah.
Your question is, it is over. Right? So you've got 45 people or 100 people sitting there watching this.
Okay.
And they said, oh, I never saw Shloime and Yonke standing there being him.
That's not Hazama. Hazama is, you were with us in a different location at the same time.
Okay, so.
Hazma. So they say, Shlomi and Yanki, you were with us behind the fence. And they say, yeah, Shkoyach, we were behind the fence and we were watching the Kiddushin. Right?
Maybe the Chassam Kala need to know that this is a proper wedding.
So Yael is saying, maybe the Chassam and Kala need to know that there's a proper wedding. Let's say, again, so do you mean that in the sense that I was saying a moment ago that she said, oh, I was just joking, I thought it was a charade, I thought it was a practice, or are you saying something more?
Well, if Eidim are a critical part of a wedding of Kiddushin, and they're not aware that they're...
Please stop. To be continued.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead.
Like you said, you asked the pasuk to the pizza of the Adam. Did you ever see anybody see the kala of the Adam also?